Morning. Good to have Charles with us this morning. He'll be our speaker. Good to have everyone here this morning. The Church of Christ, New Lex. First song will be, Oh, Think of a Home Over There. It's not in the blue book. After this song, we'll stand for opening prayer. Oh, think of the home over there. By the side of the river of light, where the saints, all immortal and fair, are robed in their garments of white. Over there, oh, think of the home over there. Over there, over there, over there. Oh,
dear Lord, we humbly come before you this morning. We thank you for this opportunity we've had to come together this morning, sing these songs, praise of thee, to hear your word proclaimed. Dear Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day that you have so bestowed upon us. We are so thankful for that and all the blessings of life that you so richly give us on a daily basis. We ask you to be with all those, Lord, who have been sick and afflicted, as less fortunate we are. Those who have lost loved ones recently, comfort and strengthen them as only you can. Dear Lord, help us be better Christians, better examples. Help us always love and support one another. Dear Lord, we again thank you for your Son. We ask you, please forgive us of our sins. Help us be better Christians. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Please be seated. Scripture reading today comes from Acts 3, verses 1 and 2. Acts 3, verses 1 and 2. In the Pew Bible, that's page 1529. 1529 in the Pew Bible. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Brother Tom.
Next song will be in Sweet By and By.
There's a land that is fairer than day. By faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet.
I'm going to say good morning to all of you. Hopefully you're as the beginning of the week, that this is a beginning of a beautiful week for you. I understand that through everything that I've been told, it's going to be a warm one. So if you happen to be allergic to the sun, please stay in. Use your sunscreen. In our household, my wife will be in all week. She has a medical condition called porphyria. And it happens to about one out of 250,000 people in the world. So my wife is probably the only person in Muskingum County who has it. And our body our liver produces porphyrins, whatever those are. To me, that's microscopic somethings. Okay, that's all I know. And the sun also gives us those. And so when she's out in the sun, she's overloaded, which causes her liver to react in a certain way and makes her sick and makes her body swell up and capillaries will crack and she'll bleed. And so, you know, the sun is a great thing for most of us, but for not all. And so that's how it is in our house. So we'll be inside. There are no such thing as Bahama vacations for us and sitting on the beach. When wife and I first got married, we were on our honeymoon at the last week in June, of all things. And we went on our honeymoon. We went to Michigan, which I told my wife we were going to have a passport to go to that foreign country up north. And that's not the joke I get to repeat in our household. So I'm repeating it here instead. But we went till the last day of our honeymoon, and it was cloudy. And she actually got to go out on a sandy beach for the first time in her life at the age of 28. So can you imagine getting to do something that you have waited all of your life to do, and you had to wait for a cloudy day to do it? Is it walk barefoot on a sandy beach? Yet you can't do that like everybody else does. You know, go out there and, you know, I can do it in the sun, but she could not. So we have to wait a long time for things to happen for us. I have some good news to share with you, that next month will be my 67th birthday. And the last full-time job I had at 62. I've been working several part-time jobs since then. And I have received, signed, and been approved for a contract for a one-year substitute teaching position as a full-time sub at the age of 67. Most of society, and when you turn 65, I'm going to say it as it is, rather than as people think it is. At 65, they want to throw you out the door because you're now retirement age. That is a sad thing for our society, because there are lots of people at the age of 65 who know an awful lot about a lot of things, and they want you to stop. So think about it. If you are a business person, encourage your senior citizens to stay in their job so that they can be useful to your company. I'm saying that because I know we have listeners who may or may not be retirement age. You are still useful to somebody. So don't sit in on your easy chairs. Keep working. Okay? Be useful to somebody, because somebody needs the knowledge that you have. With that being said, talk about knowledge and talk about opportunities. I'm going to talk about a couple of guys, apostles, guys who had spent their time with Jesus, who were about to be useful to somebody who needed help. But they only had so much that they could help with. Okay? Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Okay, that means about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid at the gate daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. So this gentleman that we're about to talk about has been crippled. He's been lame since birth. And every day, somebody would take him to the temple from the time that his mother could no longer take care of him. They would take him to the temple, set him at the temple gate, and he would ask for handouts, for money. Now, somebody who does that, who's been carried to the gates of the temple every day, you would know that person. You would know that person. What are they doing? They are asking for assistance. They're asking for help. Do you have a dollar? Do you have a dollar? Do you have 50 cents? Do you have a quarter? I'll take anything you give me. Anything. Now, you know how people are. I don't know anybody. Well, actually, that's not true. I was about to lie. I'm sorry. Yeah, we were talking about lying earlier. I was about to lie to you. That's not true. I do know people who are that mean. They'll throw a penny in your can. Or they'll say, "What are you doing here? Get a job." Well, this person is lame. They're crippled. From birth, how do you expect them to get a job? They can't help themselves. They have to have somebody help them in. How mean can people be? They can be just that mean. So somebody that you know that cannot work, does not have the ability to work. I mean, you know people like that. Get a job. Why don't you be useful? How is this person supposed to be that way? But every day, somebody brings him in. Maybe it takes a couple of people. I'd like to know who the people were that brought him in, because they would have to be dedicated to their friend or this person, their neighbor. How do you think that would be? I would like to meet them, because they would have to bring them in every day and set them at the gate. And more than likely, the same people or person would have to come and get them. So sometimes the people who help them aren't even mentioned. Obviously, it must not have mattered. But this person is asking for money. They're asking for assistance. They're asking for help. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Okay? He may or may not know who Peter and John are, but he asked them for money just the same, like he does everybody else. I don't know about you, but that would be embarrassing for me to beg for money every day. After a while, you get to the point where you're like, "You got any money?" And I'm sure that there was lots of people who walked by and didn't give him anything. There may have been somebody who gave him all they had. And there were probably a few people in between. And you wondered how much money you would you have enough money at the end of the day to actually buy bread, buy food, buy something that you needed, pay for the place in which you live, if you had a place to live at all. Maybe you lived on the streets. You never quite know the entire story of this gentleman, but you know enough. We know enough of the story. It says, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." John doesn't say a whole lot in this scripture, but Peter says, look at us. Why? Why does he do that? Because he wants this man's attention. Now, let's see. Young fellas here in the audience this morning, you ever had your parents look at me? Ah, okay. You ever had somebody look at your teacher says look at me? Of course they did. My teacher said that to me a lot. Charles, look at me. When the principal said that to me, I wanted to hide. I wanted to crawl under the floor. I couldn't find the basement of the school building fast enough. And so it was like, oh, wow. When my dad said that to me, son, he didn't even have to finish the sentence. You just say, son, and you were like, he didn't even have to ask me what I did. I already knew what I did. He didn't say that to me very often, just once in a while. My mother said that to me a lot. But anyway, Peter wants this gentleman to look at him. He says, I want your attention. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from him. You know, you want my attention? You say, hey, you. You know? And I look at you and like, okay, you know, when you look at somebody, in their eyes, you make a connection. I don't know why we're built like that, but we are. You know, when somebody's not telling you the truth, they kind of look away, or they know they've done something they shouldn't have done. They kind of, you know, I never did that. I never did. Son, what are you doing? I don't know, Dad. I don't know. Yeah. Peter wants to make sure he makes a connection with this lame man, this man who needs some help. But he's about to get something he didn't count on receiving. So what's he asking for? He's asking for money. He's not asking for a job. He's not asking for food. He's asking for money. In the next sentence, or the next verse, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. And all of a sudden, as he says this, that poor gentleman, I'm pretty sure you could probably see the light just dimming in his eyes. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Silver and gold I do not have. But what I do have, I give you. Peter and John were about to share with him something amazing. Something that he did not ask for. I don't know about you, but at Christmas time, you know, there's packages when I was a kid. My parents would, you know, you'd see all these packages under the tree, or a few anyway. You get to see a few packages under the tree. And they're like this brightly colored. It took me a while as I got older. I realized that the brightly colored packages were the ones I didn't want. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But I get this brightly colored box, you know, and my mother would, and my dad would pass out presents at Christmas time. That was his job, was passing out the presents. You get this brightly colored, you tear open the paper, your ribbon goes everywhere, and I've got socks. You go, wow, gee, that's not really what I wanted. You know, I wanted, you know, electric train or the bicycle, and no, I got socks. That was it. That wasn't the present I'd asked for. Or circled in the JCPenney's wish book. I think that's what, yeah, he said, Bill's back here, yes, the wish book. You know, I'd circled all the stuff that I wanted. I actually got to use the ink pen in the catalog, to my dad's infuriation. But anyway, he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And I can hear in the back of this gentleman's mind, but that's not what I asked for. That's not what I asked for. I asked for money. I asked for alms. And these two gentlemen are telling me they don't have any silver or gold. They want me to get up. I'm crippled. You're not giving me what I asked for. I can just see the look in this guy's eyes. Like, you gave me socks. And he took him by the right hand, takes him by the hand, and he picks him up. And he picks him up. He lifts him up. This is important. And immediately, not the day after, not the next week, not in 2 hours, but immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. Immediately. I'll bet all of a sudden, his attitude was like, what happened? What happened? I asked for one thing. I got something completely different. And now I'm being made whole. I'm being made whole. So he's asked for something, and he's gotten something completely unexpected. Now, I want you to think about the times that you sat down, knelt down, laid down, and prayed for something. And you didn't get it. You asked for something, and you didn't get it. But you got something better. Different than what you asked for. This gentleman asked for money, but he got something better. He asked. That was the first thing. He asked. Peter and John said, we don't have that. But I'll give you what I do have. And he raised him up and healed him. The next verse, I keep saying the next line, sorry, that's not really what I mean to say, but that's what seems to be what's coming out this morning. But what happens is the gentleman doesn't say, hey, thank you, see you later. That's not what he does. So he, the lame man, leaps up. He leaps. Stood and walked. And did what? He left. No, he didn't. He entered the temple with them. He didn't just walk off. He didn't just say, oh, thank you, see you later. He gets up, walks into the temple with them. Why? Because that's where Peter and John were going. Into the temple. Now, I don't know about you, but hey, I need to hang on to these two guys. They helped me. They gave me something better than money. I can now support myself. Why? Because now I can walk. I'm in great shape. This is phenomenal. I'm going to hang on to these guys. He entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. He didn't shake Peter's hand and John's hand and say, "Hey, thank you very much. See you later." He walked into the temple with them, leaping and walking and praising God. Why? Number one, he knew where it came from. Christ, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. More than likely, he had heard the reputation of Jesus. Maybe, just maybe, okay, I'm going to do some supposition here. Maybe he had seen Jesus. Maybe, I don't know. I'm sure that he had heard the reputation, though. But he was walking and jumping up and down, leaping and praising God. Did he go to a different temple of Isis or something? No, he went into this temple with Peter and John and praised God, gave thanks. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. What? What? This guy, we know who he is. He sat at the temple gate every day. And now he's walking. And then they knew that it was he who sat begging at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. But how did he get there? Number one, he asked. He asked Peter and John for something. Money. What did Peter and John have? They had no money. They had the ability to heal him. So they gave him something that he didn't ask for. And he was willing to let them do it. Matter of fact, it's almost like as if he really wasn't even willing. Peter just says, "Look at us. We'll give you what we have. Get up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ," and grabs a hold of him. He almost doesn't have a choice. Peter and John heal him. And instead of running off to tell his friends, he goes into the temple to show everyone that he has been healed. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which was called Solomon's, greatly amazed. All these people are amazed. Amazed at what? That he's been healed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to them, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why are you surprised? Or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just and asked for the murder to be granted to you." Peter is laying a whole different event into the laps of those people who are at the temple. Why are you amazed at this? Aren't you the same people who are responsible for Jesus' death? We have healed him in God's name and in the name of Jesus Christ. Wow, what a turn of events. You go from having a really great event to all of a sudden, "Hey, do you understand that you were responsible for the person who hasn't healed this? Not us, but Jesus." And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Jesus, the power of Jesus, has made this man whole. And Peter and John have brought that to their attention. Not only the good, but also the bad. And we have to be aware of these things. But yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, talking about the crucifixion of Christ, the trial of Jesus, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all of his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. So Peter and John have brought together two things, a miracle and a reckoning to the temple. Something good and something forewarning. The world is a strange place. All of us keep trying to do good things. The word of Jesus Christ sometimes is a little hard to deliver, particularly when it's not what the world is expecting. It's tough. We have a lot of work ahead of us. More and more every day, it seems like the world's falling apart. But we, as Christians, bring the new idea to them who think that this is an old-fashioned idea. It's not an old-fashioned idea. It's an old idea, but it's not old-fashioned. There's no fashion in Jesus. We keep trying to bring to them the truth that there is only one way. There is truth and there is life, but not of this life, another life. The world's looking for money. We don't have money. What we have is something different, something not of this world, something of the other world. We are strangers here in this land. We have another home to go to. And we want others to go with us. We have a different gift other than money. Money can't buy you heaven. It can't. It won't. Regardless of who says what, regardless of how much money I have, I can't buy heaven. Money was not going to buy this gentleman's health, only a gift. God has given his gift, his only son, a gift we weren't expecting. The children of Israel were looking for an earthly king. God gave them a heavenly king. God has a gift for you, salvation. And if you need that salvation, we can give it to you through your obedience to God. Perhaps you have not, or perhaps you have received that salvation and for some strange reason have not kept true to it, or you've thrown it away. You've left. But you realize something's missing. and you need to receive it again. If there's anything we can do for you this morning, either way, by showing you the salvation or bringing it back to you, let us know this morning as we stand and sing.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Please be. Thank Charles for fine lessons this morning. Now as we prepare our minds to take the Lord's Supper, I love the Lord. I love the Lord, for he died my soul to save. On Calvary, his dear life he freely gave. From realms above, Jesus freely came to die, that I might live someday with him on high. I love the Lord, he has been so good to me. He gave his life from sin to set me free.
From
Anyone needs the emblems, if you just raise your hand, Mark would be able to get those for you. I had an article prepared this morning that I wanted to read about the Lord's Supper. It was a good article, but I'm going to very quickly change that. And maybe another day, Lord willing, we'll look at it. But I thought this is too good of an opportunity to bring up something that's already in your mind this morning in listening to the lesson that Charles gave. In John, I think it's chapter 5, there was another lame man. He was 38 years old, had never walked again before, that Jesus healed. I think when we have this in our minds about this, I think it brings about, and thank you, Tom, for that song, I Love the Lord. Can you imagine the love that he had for Christ after that happened? It says he praised God, went into the temple and praised God. I just wonder whether he'd went into the temple before that or not. But he was praising God, and I think he probably never stopped the rest of his life. I think about myself. I've never not been able to walk and what that would be like. Think of my parents. They're falling some now, but they've walked 97 years, still walking, but have fallen quite a bit and bruised up pretty bad, even hospital stays. How appreciative would you be if you'd went 38 years, never walked, and all of a sudden you're healed instantly by the name of Jesus Christ? What's so important about that name? That name has authority. It has God's authority. And as we've studied in Bible study this morning about God's love, we find here about the love of Christ, that he cared about people. You think John wrote that just a fraction of what Jesus really did in his miracles is written. There's so much more. There were so many more people out there that were healed that we don't even know about, that wasn't written down. It didn't serve the purpose of God to put that in there. If you think about all those people. Now I think about myself and coming here to praise God and worship God. Would we want to know more about God if we were healed from something like that? Would we be here for Bible study? Would we open the book every day to look at it? It's something to think about. How appreciative now as we enter this act of worship. We have the truth in the Bible. This is very clearly put out, but there's so much controversy about taking the Lord's Supper. There doesn't need to be. We just follow what the New Testament tells us. God gave us the directions on what to do. But think about the love is in this. And this song so aptly told us about what God loved us. Enough to suffer and die. He was human. Everything that we would have felt if we'd went through that, he felt. And he did that for us. A sinless Savior. God sent Christ here so that our sins could be forgiven if we would just obey him. We should be so thankful that we get to come here and worship him this morning. So as we look at these emblems, the bread, which represents Christ's body, the suffering, and all the things that he went through as he grew in this life. And he gave that life up on the cross with much suffering so that our sins could be forgiven. So at this time, let us go to God in prayer and thank him for these emblems. Heavenly Father, we come thanking thee for this bread, which so fitly represents the love that you had for us. And the great love that Christ had for us. Help us, Father, to have the right attitude and mind that we realize how important this is and that we keep this in remembrance at all times, especially on the first day of the week as we partake in this communion together as your children. So thankful for your love and the love of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now we partake of the fruit of the vine, which represents the precious blood that Christ shed for us. Heavenly Father, we thank thee now. Continue our thanks for the sacrifice that Christ made and the importance of Christ shedding his blood for us that our sins might be forgiven. Help us to be mindful of the great cost and appreciative in the way that we live, that we might grow, Father, and become closer to thee, because we know someday you have a home prepared for us if we stay close to you and walk in your light. So thankful for your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This being a convenient time, we go to another act of worship that we know that the first century church did, and that of giving. We give as we prosper upon the first day of the week so that we can support the good things that we should be doing as a church. So let's go to God in prayer at this time for this privilege. Heavenly Father, we thank thee now for the privilege we have of giving back. We realize all good and perfect gifts come from you. Pray that we might support the church financially and as well, Father, in the things that we can do to help others and to promote the church and the things that Christ stands for, his name. We pray now that you would continue with us, guide us, and help us see when we do wrong, that we might repent and always grow closer to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Tom.
Make sure you get a bulletin. There's a lot in there. Pennsville's got things going on. Preachers on the Sunday evenings. Their Bible school, I guess, going on tonight. And other areas. Our sing starts Friday night. Any help you can do, sign up and bring things. Hopefully everyone can be here to support that and have fellowship. Good calls. Got a couple thank you notes. It says, thank you to everyone at New Lex Church of Christ for your support as I head off to college. The Bible is very pretty and I really appreciate it. I'm glad to see my grandparents are surrounded by good people. Sincerely, Amber Brockway. I'll put that back there. And also another one. New Lex Church of Christ, thank you so much for the card and Bible. It will help me in my future endeavors at Freed Hardeman in the fall. Thank you, Emily Huffman. We'll keep these in our prayers. West Virginia School of Preaching, Leaders Lectureship, put that on the board. Jim, give me this. You want to announce that, Jim? I get mixed up with this. Okay. Looks something like this and be the Church of Christ on there. When's that supposed to start? So we agreed to do that. As I said, the Sing Shine Up Sheets is this Friday. Also, July 6th, that's a couple weeks from now, Mark Conquery, that's the preacher of Norwell Park, his son-in-law will speak for us. His name's Gavin Juno, I believe it is. And he's got another year of college. He's going to speak for us that Sunday. Remember that in your prayers. Anyone have anything else? Good to see everyone this morning. Everyone keep safe and watch the heat. Tyler, lead us in a closing prayer.
Please stand. Dear God in heaven, we come together so humbly today, thanking you for the opportunity to worship you, receive a lesson of your word, and sing songs unto you. God, we thank you for the time that Charles put into his lesson here today. Please help us to be able to take away today the knowledge from the lesson of your word and truth, to continue to grow as Christians, and that we're able to reach others and help your kingdom to continue to grow. God, we ask you to be with us as we separate and go our own ways, that we're able to walk in the heavenly light. And when we fall short, Lord, please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.